भवानी देवे। हरेर नाम हरेर नाम हरेर नामैर केवलम्। कलौ नास्तेव 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 गतिरन्यथा। कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा डियर डिवोटीज, वेलकम टू आवर वीकली कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस प्रोग्राम। एंड once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Riverhead, Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28, where every Sundays we have holy special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30, and then we have a discourse on Krishna consciousness philosophy based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we have Guru Puja for our Foundacharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and then we finish the day's program with Vaishnava Feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, and find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about. Also, this Saturday, we are going to have our annual Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival in downtown Auckland. This is in the Queen Street. It will start at 11 o'clock. Please come along and join us and make Lord Jagannath available to all the devotees. Whoever comes into town, please come and have darshan, join the parade, pull Lord Jagannath across Queen Street. I'll continue with Mukunda Mala Shrota, the prayers of King Kulshekar. We are on text 34. King Kulshekar writes, Chetastha Sriyante Kirtiyaswarasneenam Mribhavam Tvam Shiro Hasta Aj Hasta Vajamil Hasta Anjali Samputam Rachyatam Vandana Swadhirdham Vapu Atma Samprasehe Pundrikanayanam Naga Chalandri Sitam Dhanyam Punyatam Tadeo Paramam Devamhi Satasiddhaye. Translation. O mind, think of the lotus-eyed Lord who reclines on the mountain-like serpent Ananta. O tongue, glorify Him. O head, bow down to Him. O hands, join your palms in supplication to Him. O body, offer outstretched obeisances to Him. O heart, take full shelter of Him. The Supreme Lord is the topmost deity. It is He alone who is all auspicious and supremely purifying. He alone who awards eternal perfection. Here, King Kulshekhar also offers us some second reasons why the Lord is worshipable. He is no mortal being, but rather the inconceivable Mahavishnu who lies on the serpent couch, Ananta Shesha. Lord Shesha, He is Himself the resting place of all the universes, and Mahavishnu is the omnipotent source of all creation. The Supreme Absolute Truth is complete along with His personal energies, who serve and worship Him just as a king is complete only when he interacts with his loving subjects. So the Paramatma is complete along with his worshippers. And the devotees are fully satisfied only when rendering devotional service to that Lord. Throughout his prayers, King Kulshekhar advocates the relationship of the eternal servant with his eternal Lord. He never suggests that the living entities can become one in all respects with the Supreme, or that both the servants and the Lord will ultimately lose their identity in impersonal Brahman. The impersonal theory of the Absolute is an interpretive one that does not come directly from the Vedic scriptures. The Vedas personally make this statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Text 50. Aparimita Dhruvas Tanu Britto Yadi Sarva Gatas Tarahina Sasyateti Niyamo Dhruva Netrata Ajanina Ajani Cha Yenmayam Tad ani mucheya niryantara bhavet samam anujanatamnam yad amtam mat dustaya. O Supreme Eternal, if the embodied living entities were eternal and all pervading like you, then they would not be under your control. But if the living entities are accepted as minute energies of your Lordship, then they are at once subject to your supreme control. Therefore, real liberation entails surrender by the living entities in your control, and that surrender will make them happy. In that constitutional position only can they be controllers. Therefore, men with limited knowledge who advocate the monistic theory that God and the living entities are equal in all respects are actually misleading themselves and others. Worship of the Supreme Lord is auspicious and purifying. It clears all debt from our heart, including the illusion that we are the prime mover in our world and the center of enjoyment. To worship someone or something greater than ourselves is natural. But we often mistake a great person or demigod as the proper subject of worship. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes it clear that He alone is the only proper object of worship. And in this way, King Kulshekhar reiterates this point by stating that the Lotus-Eyed Supreme Lord is the topmost deity. For universal management, Lord Krishna expands into many Vishnu forms and empowers millions of demigods. Thus, there are innumerable deities or Ishwaras. The Ishwaras means controllers. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the topmost controller of all and the only one. King Kulshekhar prays, King Kulshekhar's prayers call to mind similar prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic Shastras uttered by devotees who attained the direct vision, darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pure devotees always receive the darshans of the Lord in a mood of worshipable ecstasy. They never consider him an ordinary human being of this universe, nor do they seek to lose their identities and merge into his impersonal intelligence. Their devotional sentiments, such exalted Vaishnavas express, evince the natural awakening of the soul as it comes into the presence of the Lord. The soul becomes humbled and purified and worships his beloved Lord with eloquent prayers and praises. In reciprocation, the Lord bestows his mercy upon his devotees. In this prayer, King Kulshekhar speaks of the Sat Siddhi, or permanent achievement, awarded by the Supreme Lord. This refers to the personal liberation of going back to Godhead. The jivas are qualitatively one with Krishna, and when they come together with him, a natural attraction occurs. The devotee then wants to use all his facilities to worship the Supreme Lord, who is auspicious to worship and inconceivably great. As great as he is, however, he doesn't force reciprocation. Krishna makes this clear in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11. As they approach me, I reciprocate with them. Thus, it is up to the devotee to choose to save the Lord out of his own free will. This verse is therefore a call to one's free will. It is a prayer to one's own self to not misuse one's God-given facilities, but to engage them in the Lord's service and worship. Because Krishna is supremely independent and we are part and parcel of him, we have minute free will, and so the all-important decision is in our own hands. As Prabhupada would say, man is the architect of his own fortune. Hearing the prayers of King Kulshekhar inspires us to use our free will properly. Shruvan janardhanam katha guna kirtanani dehena yasye pulako dagam romaraji rajiva notapadayate nayanayoravimalambhuvamala dikatasya jivitamaho purushadhamasya. One who hears descriptions of Lord Janardhan's pastimes and glorious qualities, but whose bodily hair fails to bristle in ecstasy and whose eyes fail to flood with tears of pure love, such a person is indeed the most degraded rascal. What a condemned life he leads. Hearing authorized descriptions of the Supreme Lord from the Vedic literature should produce ecstasy. This is the symptom of genuine Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not a subject to be studied as mythology or as comparative religion, and certainly not as a means of reaching impersonal meditation. Merely to be neutral concerning God or to theoretically acknowledge, yes, I believe God exists, is not enough. Hearing about Lord Krishna should initially produce a regret within the conditioned soul that he has been so long separated from his master, protector, and best friend. Ultimately, with tears of love, he should feel pure affection with the revival of his natural and all-pervading relationship with the Lord. The process of bhakti has three stages: sambandha, avidya, and prayojan. In the first stage, one hears from authorized sources and awakens to the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead oneself. The creation and the relationship among all these, one then realizes the supreme value of bhakti yoga, devotional service unto the all-attractive Lord. In the second stage, called avidya, one engages in the practical activities of devotional service. This culminates in the final stage, prayojan, in which one achieves pure love of God, the goal of life. In a Srimad Bhagavatam verse similar to this one by King Kulshekar, Sukhdev Goswami describes the unfortunate position of one who doesn't awaken to the message of God. Tad asma saranam hirdayam batedam yad grahamanair harinam dhyaye navikriyate eta yada vikraha vikaro netre jalanam amgatarare ruhesu harshah. Certainly that heart is a steel frame which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change and feel ecstasy, at which time tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 24. The Acharyas warn us that pretenders imitate these symptoms, complete with tears and bristling hair. Therefore, the most reliable symptoms of advancement are the detachment from material pleasures and steady, sincere service to the Lord under the guidance of the spiritual master. This does not negate, however, the importance of ecstasy. In his Shikshatman, second verse, Lord Chaitanya, taking the role of a conditioned soul, laments that although he chants the holy name, he fails to achieve ecstasy because he is so unfortunate that he cannot stop committing offenses. Thus, if we want to progress towards love of Godhead, we must study and carefully avoid the 10 offenses to the holy name. One who is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee of the Lord can rectify all these bad habits. Otherwise, one will remain steel-hearted and unfit to advance in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada writes, a complete progressive march on the return path home back to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by realized devotees. In saving the pure devotee, one will automatically experience the progressive and ecstatic stages of bhakti without disappointment or limitations. Text 36. Andasya me hirtva viveka mahadhanasya Chore prabho bali vrirendriya nam dehe moha mohandhakutukupa kuhare vinipaititasya devasya dehe kripanasya haravalambham. O Lord, the powerful thieves of my senses have blinded me by stealing my most precious possession, my discrimination, and they have thrown me deep into the pitch dark well of delusion. Please, O Lord of Lords, extend your hand and save this wretched soul. In text 20, 26, 31, and 34, King Kulshekhar instructed his senses to save the Lord. But now those same senses have apparently dragged him down into the well of delusion. Of course, the king is a liberated, pure devotee of the Lord, and he is simply taking the role of a fallen, conditioned soul for our instruction. But still, one might question why Kulshekhar has faced encouragers with descriptions of proper sensory engagement in the Lord's service, and then discouraged us with this dreary picture of uncontrolled senses casting the helpless soul into the well of delusion. The answer is that King Kulshekhar is simply giving us a realistic picture of the alternatives faced by the living beings in the clutches of the material energy. We need a sober view of Maya's powers if we hope to extricate ourselves. As in Upanishad 11, it states, Vidyam chai vidyam chai asatada vedam vayam vasava avidyamirtavyam tiratava vidyamritam asnate. Only one who can learn the process of nescience there and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend in the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. The right choice for human being is vidya or transcendental knowledge with restricted sense enjoyment. We are taught about avidya so that we will be fully aware of its dire consequences. Then we can strongly reject it and engage our mind and senses wholeheartedly in devotional service to Krishna. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 5, a man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. How to use all of one's faculties in Krishna's service was exemplified by Maharaj Ambarish. Who engaged his mind in meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. His words in glorifying the Lord's transcendental qualities, his hands in cleaning the Lord's temple, his ears in hearing the Lord's pastimes, his eyes in seeing the Lord's transcendental forms, his body in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees, his sense of the smell in smelling the flowers offered to the deity, his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaves offered to the Lord, his legs in going to the holy places where the Lord's temples are situated, his head in offering humble obeisances to the Lord, and his desires in fulfilling the Lord's desires. If despite warnings we follow the wanton dictates of our sense, those senses will lead us into the ditch of deep illusion. Just as an unreined horse might drag a chariot into a ditch, if this happens, it will fall deep into sinful life. Then our only recourse is to call sincerely upon the Supreme Lord to extricate us. King Kulshekhar's metaphor is not imaginary. For in India, a person will sometimes accidentally fall into a dry, overgrown well, unknown as well as an underkupa or blind well. Once at the bottom of the well, if he survives the fall, he cannot possibly get out by himself. Similarly, we cannot extricate ourselves from the deep well of material life unless we grab the rope of mercy lowered by Krishna or his representatives. Srila Rupa Goswami prays in his Stomala, Manasijja pahani pani jaste labadha paratos meduste timira gana rupa hanta samsara kupe ajita nikhila raksha hetum udha ude haradhaksham upanaye mama हस्ते भक्ति राज्यम मन नामस्ते. Alas, I have fallen into the deep, dark, filthy well of samsara, in which the viper of sex desire dwells. O invisible Lord, the rope of the devotional service is the cause of universal protection and is expert at delivering the fallen souls. Please place the rope in my hand. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. In a similar mood, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says the following in the fifth verse of his Manasiksha. Ascha chetasya kasta pa prada vikrata pa pasale virya prakamam kamadi prakata patapati vyanti krarehe gale badavahanyeham iti vakta bhaka bhed vritama pagane kurutum pute pakaram avati sayata the highwayman of lust and his accomplices' greed, etc., have waylaid me and bound my neck with the horrible ropes of sinful activities. O mine, please scream out for help, crying, O Krishna, O killer of Rabhaka, I am on the verge of death. If you do this, then Krishna will certainly save me. To be aware of the danger is itself a blessing. If we see the disaster of death and rebirth approaching, we will naturally call out to Krishna for help. But if we remain in ignorance, we will foolishly continue trying to enjoy sense pleasure, not recognizing that sense gratification implicates us in repeated birth and death. However, once we begin sincerely calling on Krishna in full awareness that we are in mortal danger and that he is our only protector, we are already saved.
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare